there, my Absolution Network fans. Thomas Mattis here, just to let you know that the Absolution Network will be at Anime Next from June 12th to the 14th. We'll be taking pictures and filming and doing tons of stuff, covering the con. And me and John Ramos will also be covering with several panels, along with covering guests and interviewing guests as well. Just some of the panels you can see is, of course, John Ramos's Toku Time panel, which is excellent. I have my Look into American Anime panel. It won't be called that. I have my Urbame panel, which looks at American urban culture's influence and the popularity of anime because of it being popular with the urban American culture. I have a Tokyo SOS panel where we're going to discuss who would win in a fight between all types of kaiju. And, of course, we have the Toonami Celebration panel returning for the third year in a row, where we will be celebrating everything Toonami. Those are just some of the stuff, and of course more, as we'll be doing tons of stuff at the con. So if you're going to Anime Next in New Jersey, June 12th through to the 14th, which is in the New Brunswick area, and the next time I plug this, I'll have the proper city name, as this will be at the New Jersey, not New Jersey Center. I need to get some of this better stuff right. But we will be there. If you're going there, look for us. I shouldn't be that hard to find. I'm probably one of the fattest people there. But anyways, we will be at Anime Next from June 12th through to the 14th. I will see you there.
I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. Nobody can touch me.
It is I, CMJ, the best Jew in the world, and welcome to a brand new episode of CMJ's Wrestling Reviews, right here on the Absolution Network. This is episode 47, as we continue down the road, the hardcore road, to episode 50. And on this week's episode, we get hardcore, just not type I'm used to kind of seeing and enjoying, as we review WrestlePalooza 1998 from Marietta, Georgia in Cobb County. But there is some good stuff, because while that is the main review, before we get to that, we do have something good to talk about, as we are going to do a quick look at NXT Unstoppable, where, oh my god, so much stuff went down, and I probably would have talked about it last week had I not recorded the episode the day before NXT Unstoppable, but you know. So, yeah, NXT Unstoppable happened. Let's go. I don't have the list in front of me, but let's go match by match. Our first match of the night was for the number one contendership as Prince Pretty, Tyler Breeze, faced off against the demon himself, Finn Balor. I found it to be a really good match and a really good match to start it off. I mean, it is a match we've seen before, but at the same point in time, both of those wrestlers are just great. I don't think Breeze gets enough credit for as good of a performer he is in that ring, and I hope they start taking notice and calling him up soon, because he's got a great gimmick and it works really well. And he can definitely fill in that sort of Dolph Ziggler heel spot that's kind of missing, that very cocky guy everybody hates. Miz and both Dolph Ziggler as well kind of filled that spot. The difference was that Dolph Ziggler actually could wrestle. And they, right now it's only Miz, and they kind of need a good cocky young guy there. I think Tyler Breeze can really fit that spot on the main roster. Moving on to our next match was the Divas Tag Match, where Charlotte and Bayley faced off against Dana Brooke and Emma. I'm enjoying Emma's heel turn. Bayley and Charlotte looked great. You definitely can see two things with Dana Brooke, though. One, you can see her potential, but you can also see how green she is. And I think that's something NXT has never been shy of showing to wrestlers. You can see what wrestlers are green. We saw that with Mojo Rawley. We saw that with Baron Corbin. We'll be talking about in just a second. But, and Alexa Bliss, we'll also be talking about a little bit later. But that's the thing NXT hasn't been shy about showing. Because, again, as much as we love this, and as much as this is the wrestling we always wish WWE would put on their main show, this is a developmental territory, and this is about them getting those opportunities to make mistakes, to show how green they are, and to learn from them. And I thought she did an okay job being put in the ring with two of the best in NXT right now, along with Emma, and you can see that she's definitely learning. She's got a great look to her. I think look matters, I think, for anybody. And I think look is important. It shouldn't matter, I think, whether they're successful or not. Everybody should be given a chance. But it's, at the end of the day, it's about understanding your look and how to use it. And some wrestlers know how to do that, some don't. And some wrestlers have to learn. Dana Brooke definitely knows how to use her look to her advantage. And, that's good as far as understanding why you want to portray the character you're portraying. You could definitely see them going down a Trish Stratus type of route with her, which isn't a bad thing, okay? I remember when Trish Stratus first put on TV, she's just blonde bimbo, who can, push her boobs up, got a great body, and she turned out to be one hell of a wrestler. So I think while she's definitely no Trish Stratus yet, you see that potential there. That's probably what WWE is looking at. Our next match would be Rhino versus Baron Corbin. I very much enjoyed this match. This was just two unstoppable big men going at each other. Once again, you do see that Baron Corbin has a lot to work on, but you do see improvements. Over the course of the past at least two specials, if not the past 3 months, or in particular, starting with NXT Revolution, in fact, there's been that level of, greenness, and you saw how much of it is, but over the course of the past couple of months, and in specials, you've seen him get more and more comfortable. And really, I think that's the big thing, is that there are times where he seems like he's uncomfortable and he doesn't know what to do and he hesitates. You're seeing less and less and less of that. And that, I think, bodes well for him. He's got, again, great look, and it's a great character. And he can use the term gimmick, but it's a gimmick. And that lone sort of wolfman biker guy. Great ending move. Has a lot of potential, still has a lot to work on, but you see that he's learning and growing, and that he's becoming less and less green. I think another year in developmental will really make his character stand out well. So that was a really, really good match. Our next match would be for the NXT Tag Team titles, as the champions, the Dubstep Cowboys, defended them against the realest guys in the room. How you doing, Mr. Mike Talker Skywalker himself, Enzo Amore, and Big Cass, who are out to prove that the Dubstep Cowboys were SWAFT soft. Hairball, I know I screwed it up. If I had actual notes in front of me, I wouldn't screw it up, but hey, Hairball, I'm doing this off the cuff. I can hear Hairball, like, screaming from Florida. I really enjoyed this match. The thing I really love the most is, like, they finally allowed Enzo to, like, showcase that he actually can wrestle. You know, I think that's really been the thing about Enzo, is that he's had poor ringmanship and poor sort of ring work. He doesn't do a lot of maneuvers, but because of his charisma and his talking, you know, everybody loves it. Here, he was finally given a chance to, like, showcase that he can at least look like a decent wrestler, which I think he did. I'd love to see his moveset expand, but, like, I'm really looking forward to this feud between them and the Dubstep Cowboys, featuring both Carmella and Alexis Bliss, which, again, I thought that was a great decision to make her into a heel, team her with the Dubstep Cowboys. You have these two very athletic groups, you know, or I should say this athletic diva teaming them with an athletic group that can really learn, and, you know, because the thing that for them, well, for Alexis, she needs to work on her ring work, and Blake and Murphy need to work on their promo and character skills, and they're just going to complement each other real well, I think. I thought it was an excellent match. Again, I actually enjoy the ending because I love that it's leaning towards that feud. And when they finally do win the titles, it's going to be huge for Enzo Amore and Big Cass. You know it is. It's like they're stirring that pot. They're getting us ready. I've learned not to be pissed off anymore, because I'm like, you know it's coming. You do. It's not so much that they stir the pot. It's like, I have to wait another 2 months to see him win the title. You know they're going to win the title at something big. It's just a matter of getting to it. So that was a really good match. Now comes match of the night. What may be match of the goddamn year. Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks. Whoo! These divas tore the house down. No questions asked. I'm really struggling because I don't think you'll find a better match all year long. Props to Triple H, props to both Lynch and Banks for putting on one hell of a match that, like, from start to finish, I was invested. I didn't think I would be. I mean, great entrances by both. I mean, props to Becky Lynch for the whole steampunk orange hair, Fifth Element, Final Fantasy things that were going on. I was just instantly reminded of that steampunk guy that I saw on Free Wrestling Day, I believe from Chikara. I'm sure T-Dub or many of you out there could tell me who I'm thinking of. I can't remember his name. But just, oh my god, Suplex City being opened up by Becky Lynch is like, yes. The suplexes, the fact that the amazing form of strength from Lynch to catch, or at least catch Banks through the suicide dive, the roll through, and then sending her into the steps. I mean, a bit botchy on the ending, but I thought they recovered great. Again, they didn't let the botch affect them, and they just flowed right into the finisher, and it was, you know, for the match, because that's where the botch happened. That's really the only botch I really saw. They were just very fluid, very crisp, and the match just had this great back and forth flow. You know, honestly, I put this match right up there in that area that I hold John Cena versus CM Punk from Raw, or Chris Benoit versus Kurt Angle from the 2002 Royal Rumble, excuse me. But that area where I consider like the greatest matches of all, I put this match in there. And it's going to be, right now, it's my front runner. It's my front runner for match of the year. Man or woman. Just major, major props to those girls for that. I mean, just showing this is what's missing from WWE as far as the women are concerned. Again, this is a discussion for another day as far as exactly how they should promote their divas. Again, I've said it. I think there should be divas and there should be women wrestlers. They're two different things. You can have those two different things. And I think that's one of the things that made it work so well back during the late Attitude, early Ruthless Aggression era. On to our main event, though. Kevin Owens, the NXT champion, defending against Sami Zayn. By the way, Sasha Banks retains her title, still NXT Women's Champion, because that match was for the championship, which made it even more greater, by the way. There's a couple things I like about this before we get to, of course, obviously what happened at the end. One, I love that they didn't go out and try to, like, upstage. They knew they were not going to surpass that. We're just going to do our thing. And I loved it for that. Two, I love the fact that pretty much Sami Zayn dominates the entire match up until the powerbomb on the apron that takes him out. It just adds to the fact that for those who watched it, you know that, yeah, while Owens did do what he said he was going to do, it's not like he dominated the match like he did before. Sami Zayn was all over Kevin Owens with half and half suplexes and blue thunder bombs and everything. One of the best spots was they're outside and Owens picks him up for a power bomb, but he grabs onto because they're by the bleachers and the metal part, and he grabs on and kicks off and then dives onto him. It was a great match, and then at the after the match, the build up to, I'm watching, I'm like, they're doing a lot of stuff after the match. Is it going to be? Because I heard the rumors too, and just the great way they set it up, and he continues to be beating on Zayn. The referees can't get him off. He throws him in the ring. Regal comes down. Regal says, "You don't dare do that." Kevin Owens blows him off, and then just that classic sort of old school grabbing by the nose, like I'm doing myself and pulling. Like I'm hurting myself as I'm doing to myself right now. Just classic Regal, and then the headbutt. It's like, and then the grabbing the chair. You got the chair up, like, I'm going to end your life. And then, boom, the Godzilla sound and the music. Everybody instantly knew what was happening. And then here comes Samoa Joe. I lost my shit. And it was, yes. All of the yes. All of the yes. Samoa Joe is in the WWE. His promo after, which if you saw on YouTube, was awesome. His promo backstage, which you saw on YouTube, was awesome. But it's like, it's on. It's official. WWE has the best roster in all of wrestling. I'm just sitting here saying it. WWE has the best roster, period. And I'm pretty sure I can make a reasonable argument to why I'm right on that. So NXT Unstoppable, at this point, is probably the second best NXT pay-per-view that they've done after our Evolution. And that's a good debate right there. Which was the better match? Neville and Zayn at our Evolution versus Banks and Lynch. It's like, we could debate on hours and just pick apart those matches. It literally gets a nitpicking on that one. So NXT Unstoppable, great, great event. setting up, you know, tons of stuff. Can't wait for the next special. And of course, you know, you got so many stars now starting to come up from NXT, like, you know, Kevin Owens this Sunday, the match with John Cena. Oh, I cannot wait. And of course, you know there's going to be some type of match between him and Joe at some point. You can't wait to watch it. So NXT Unstopped right now is a 5 out of 5 for me. So with that being said, I think it's time for us to get into our review proper, the main review of the episode. For episode 47, as we review ECW Wrestlepalooza, 1998, which took place on May 3rd, 1998, with an attendance of 3,405 at the Cobb County Civic Center in Marietta, Georgia, USA, home of the Big Boss Man. Your commentator is Joey Styles. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into ECW Wrestlepalooza 1998. Supernova versus the FBI, the full-blooded Italians of Little Guido, Tracy Smothers with Tommy Rich. You know, here's the funny thing about this. When I first saw this match in the list, and I saw what the other matches were, I'm like, this is going to be the worst match of the night. Oh, was I wrong? And I don't say wrong as in, like, this is a good match. Oh, this was a bad match. But, it was better than the rest. It was better. It was one of the better matches of the night by quality of not sucking too much. In fact, quite frankly, a lot of it is actually fun in this match. It goes on a bit too long, in my opinion, but, yeah. This pay-per-view. One of the big things I found funny was the whole, you know, the way the Blue Meanie acted with the referee and was, you know, the referee ended up doing like a powerbomb or a splash and counting the ref's pin and everything. It's like, I found all of that funny. Just, you know, at the end of the day, it was one of the more enjoyable matches of the night. And I was, and that's very surprising because I didn't think that going in, considering some of the matches we had. But I think that's a bad sign that one of your better matches of the night is one of these matches. Because while I did think it was fun, it's by no means a really good match whatsoever. Our next match of the night, that match. It just so happens to be probably the match of the night. As it's Just Incredible with Jason and Chastity versus Mikey Whipwreck. I thought this was a really solid match. And like I said, I kind of feel this was match of the night. Which is really surprising. I guess just to say some of the matches we have on. We have Tommy Dreamer and Sandman versus the Dudleys. RVD versus Sabu for the title, television title. You had New Jack versus Bam Bam Bigelow. You had Candino and Lance Storm, as we'll get to in a moment, versus the Hardcore Chair Swinging Freaks of Balls, Mahoney and Axel Rotten. You know, all of those should be better matches than these first two, and it wasn't. But this was match of the night. I mean, it had great energy, very few botches, honestly. And, I mean, just some great maneuvers. One is Mikey Whipper does a suplex on on Just Incredible, where he's standing on, basically standing on the corner of the steel guardrail and picks him up and over and suplexes him. That was really impressive. I also really liked where, you know, Mikey Whipper goes crazy and just starts putting whippersnappers on everybody, aka the Stone Cold Stunner. This is just a really solid match, good flow to it, and I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I would, but I found myself really enjoying it. Of course, Just Incredible gets the win with the That's Incredible, the Tombstone Piledriver, but built his character, but just a really solid match, and I really, really enjoyed it. It's not a 5-star match by any means. It's at best a 3-star match, if not 2.5, but yeah, the rest of the matches of the night, which that shouldn't be a good sign for you. As I may have mentioned before, our next match of the night is for the ECW World Tag Team Championships, as Chris Candido and Lance Storm, with Tammy Lynn Stinch, face off against the Hardcore Chair Swinging Freaks of Balls, Mahoney, and Axel Rotten. This was probably the second best match of the night. Very much enjoyed it. Great storyline being portrayed by both Lance Storm and, because again, this is back when he was actually allowed to have personality, and Chris Candido, and they're just very fluid in the ring. And, you know, the thing about it is I remember seeing Chris Candido years ago and not appreciating his work, and now I look back at his work and I really appreciate it. But yeah, it's a solid match, great back and forth. Would be one of the longer matches of the night. And again, I just like how the story was told. You know, Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney did a great job in the ring, and both teams had a great chemistry about telling a great story. So very enjoyable match, and again, I love the story they're telling. Our next match of the night, before we get to that, after that match, there's sort of a pause, and it seems like they come back, like, a little bit later, and there's a segment to where they introduce some of the legends that I guess were at WrestlePalooza that ECW brought in, like the Junkyard Dog. Who did they bring in? Some masked wrestler. I can't remember. I wanted to say the Mask Avenger or whatever, but the Mask Assassin. Excuse me. He was brought in. Who did they bring in? Oh man, Junkyard Dog, the Mask Assassin. Bunkhouse, I'm blanking on his name. He was in WCW, and I remember him. Bullet Bob Armstrong and Dick Slater, I believe. So they brought them in, and this whole thing, and then they brought Shane Douglas to cut a promo. And I really love the promo Shane Douglas cut here, to where, again, you know, because he had been injured and he'd have to go on the recovery list and everything because Taz broke his arm, basically, and caused the injury. Injured and, like, broken power and everything. Like, you know, fate may not be on my side and maybe doubt those times, but I'm going to go down as a fighting champion. And, you know, it was this great thing I think that Shane Douglas did, and I really like about his character, where he was a heel, and he made no doubts he was a heel, but it was that heel where it's like, I'm not shying from what I did. I'm going to use every trick in the book I can to retain my title. But I'm still going down as a fighting champion. I was like, I really love that. I love that promo. And then, of course, here comes Taz. Oh, God, I love Taz. I'm miserable. I should have the shot at the title. So I'm going to make your night miserable and everybody's night miserable. And then I start beating the hell out of Shane Douglas. I loved it. Great little segment there. And that flowed right into the Bam Bam Bigelow versus New Jack match. The match started out okay, and I generally enjoy New Jack matches. But when Bam Bam Bigelow took over, I think at some point New Jack got just knocked, got a concussion, and just got knocked loopy. Because he was not right at some point, like in the halfway point of this match. And then, I mean, you can tell it, like, it took out of him. Like, they get to the point to where they're supposed to do the big stage dive, which New Jack ended up doing. It's like, it's an amazing spot, but I wish he wouldn't have did, because he was loopy. But, you know, he knocks Bam Bam Bigelow down and everything, and he actually has to be helped by ECW, like the bodyguard guys, up to his feet and help up the stairs. And, like, he stumbles, and, like, it takes such a long time. It's like, but it's so unbelievable. And I know, again, we're talking about believability in a New Jack match, but still, it's just a matter of, like, it takes so much time. Bam Bam Bigelow, you know, should have found him by now. And it just, he got injured. He got a concussion. I didn't look too much into the research on this, obviously, which I really don't do. Most often, unless it's given to me in the certain notes that reminds people of it. I don't know if he got a concussion or really got injured or whatever, but or what it was. But it's like, yeah, this just felt, this is hard to watch it sometimes, and not in that good way. So it's like, oh my God, all this is hard to watch. It's hard to watch in that Royal Rumble, say, I quit match between Foley and Rock, where there's a point to where it just gets hard to watch, and that's what this match was. Next is a match I thought would be one of the matches of the night, as Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman with Bula McGillicuddy faced the Dudley Boys with Bubba Ray and Devon Dudley, with Big Dick Dudley, Joe Gertner, and Sign Guy Dudley. Now, of course, Joe Gertner gets to do his thing, but Tommy Dreamer and Sandman come out before Bubba can speak, and so they cut their promo off. It's the first bad thing that happens with this match. I'm going to sit here and say this right now. If you want this match better, watch ECW One Night Stand 2005. Sandman did not look. Sandman looked like he was not in even another time zone. Sandman looked like he was on another planet. Like, his body was there, but his mind had gone to Alpha Centauri 345 or something. It's just, he was gone. I don't know if because he was really injured, he was like something on painkillers or whatever, but it's like, I feel very uncomfortable, and I need an adult type of feel, like the way he looked. It's just very, very disturbing, actually. And then it started out as an okay match, then Sandman gets injured, which I don't know if it was planned or whatever. Spike Dudley coming out to help him, I thought was a nice touch, but in general, it's just, the Sandman parts, I think, really bring the match down. And, of course, Sandman comes back and they hit the double DDT for the win. But it's just like, this match felt very sloppy and it felt very lazy. Now, I thought that this would be the biggest disappointment of the night. Boy, was I wrong. Our next match is RVD versus Sabu for the television title. Here's the thing. The best part of this match was Bill Alfonso and the storytelling he was telling, like, whose side is he on? Which, to tell you, this is sad. I mean, first of all, this is just a spot fest. There was no flow to this match. There was nothing about this match. This match ended in a 30-minute draw. But there was no, like, flow to it, nothing. Just botches after botches. Surprisingly, from RVD and from the table. Actually, this is honestly one of Sabu's most cleanest matches. Like, he's not falling out of the rope or everything. But it's like, oh my god, the tables. Mind you, this also happened with the Dudley Boys match. Like, the tables wouldn't cooperate. And it happened again here. It's like, table after table not breaking the right way and not falling the right way. Every day it's just like, the table has won. But there was just no, everything was about like, it started to pick up pace towards the end, but it's like, there's nothing. Like, I'm like sitting here, it's a Sabu and a RVD match, but I'm sitting here checking my phone for it. I'm like, is it over yet? Is it over yet? Is it over yet? It's a 30-minute match, and I'm like just bored for most of it. I mean, the spots, I guess, look good, but there's nothing that builds up to them. This is a horrid match. This is the biggest disappointment of the night. In fact, I'm going to say this. This is the worst match of the night. And that shocks me, because I didn't expect that going in, but God, this was the worst match of the night. And it shouldn't have been. They just said, like, well, you... It's interesting to just do big spot after big spot that will get the crowd into it. And it's like... Oh, that's... Because I kept thinking about... There was a moment that, like, the crowd really booed during the Bubba... Between the Dudley match and between Tommy Dreamer and Sandman. And I remember what it is. They go for a concerto on Tommy Dreamer. And they barely touch the chairs. It's slow motion. It's like... It wasn't believable at all. And the crowd could... It's like... Wow. Alright, I guess the Dudleys are trying to give Lance Storm a run for his money for worst chair shot ever. And by God, it's a close contest. But back to... And you had a very soft and lame chair shot here by RVD, too. Honestly, it was Sabu who shined in this match. RVD was just going through the paces, doing his spots. Not that Sabu wasn't doing that too, but it's just like it seemed Sabu was more fluid at it. But there was no pace, there was no story, there was nothing. It's just like it's a spot fest, and I just felt bored with this match. That brings us to our final match of the night. As Shane Douglas with Francine, who's looking just, oh my god, smoking. By the way, there's a video package there where they show them at a beach with Shane Douglas and Francine. And Francine has that, like, sling bikini to where just sort of that bikini part. And then the top part is tied to that and it comes up. And it's like, oh, god damn. Thank you for providing my fantasy for the evening. You know what? This was a solid match. I'm kind of crapped, and I kind of felt really disappointed by this pay-per-view, honestly. But in general, you know, I guess most of the matches were okay. It's just, you know, even the matches that were good, like the whip, like I said, like the Mikey Whipwreck Just Incredible match was at best a 3 out of 5. Nothing was better than that. It's like, there's a lot of sloppiness, a lot of botching. But this was a solid match that they couldn't really do a lot because of Shane Douglas's injury. It was very interesting to see because I never got a chance to see Al Snow in ECW. And so, of course, the whole help me head thing. And I thought the heads would come in before the match. I guess they came in after the match. It was a solid match, and Shane Douglas gets the win to roll up. But, you know, it was a good sort of... I felt it was an enjoyable match, and I really did enjoy the fact that they had this whole thing to where Al Snow and Shane Douglas really put on a solid match. Everybody came out and hoisted them up, and The heads were filling the ring, and it, you know, it was a very good sight. So that's my review overall of Wrestlepalooza 1998. The pay-per-view in general just felt like a disappointment, but I'll get to more than that. Let me go over my moments of the evening, which is very hard because I don't have a lot, but... Moment number three is the, as much as I want to sit here and say it, is Francine in that video package in that bikini. I can't really say that. Moment number three is from the first match where Blue Meanie and the referee and the FBI get into it. And, you know, Blue Meanie does a body slam, Blue Nova does a body slam, then the referee does a body slam, and then they're dragging referees doing the wrestling maneuver. It's just like, that was just very funny. I enjoyed that. Number two, there's a point where Chastity gets involved in the Just Incredible Mikey Whipwreck match, and Mikey Whipwreck does a whippersnapper from the top rope on her. That was a nice spot. I mean, again, showing just how strong women can be by having them have a maneuver happen to them. And, see, I think people don't understand that, is that showing women getting physical and showing them men getting physical with them isn't a sign of abuse. It shows actually the strength of the women, because it shows them getting in the ring and getting dirty. They're not these pretty princesses that can't be touched. You know, they can get in the ring and get dirty, and they can take damage to help their friend or whatever retain the title. I thought that was a good spot, because it was just for her to take that Stone Cold Stunner from the top rope, like, very impressive with Chastity on that. But my top moment of the night is the end of the night, where both Shane Douglas and Al Snow are being lifted up by the rest by the locker room at ECW with all the heads in the ring. I just thought that was a really good sight. And you know what? Thinking back on it, I like. Maybe I'm just being a bit too tough on this pay-per-view. Moving on to my top three matches. Number three is the Douglas-Al Snow match. I feel it's kind of better than I nearly thought it was. And had some enjoyable moments. And again, that final moment at the end of the pay-per-view is just heartwarming, which is strange to say about an ECW, that there's a heartwarming moment for the King of Hardcore. Number two, Chris Candido and Lance Storm versus the Hardcore Chair Swinging Freaks of Boss Mahoney and Axel Rotten. A very solid tag team match, very enjoyable. But like I said, match of the night, just incredible. Mikey Whipwreck just surprised me with just a very entertaining match. A match I was much more entertained by than RVD versus Sabu, which is by far the worst match of the night, and was just such a disappointment. But this match, it's a great flow, a lot of very interesting maneuvers. I think this match is one of the ones, if there's any match I think worth watching this pay-per-view for, this is actually the match worth it. It's not the greatest match of all time, but it's got a great flow, and it's a nice, solid match. Overall, this wasn't a good pay-per-view. I would like to say that I'm giving it a hard time, and I do kind of feel maybe I'm being a bit too tough on it, but it's like, ECW, to me, has such a standard, or at least I expect a certain standard, a certain quality of wrestling in ECW, even from the matches that are all about swinging weapons. There's usually a flow. But the thing about almost all of these matches, with the exception of a couple, like the main event or, you know, Just Incredible versus Mikey Whipwreck and the tag team match that preceded it, there really wasn't any flow. Or in particular, the three matches in the middle, which were all just god-awful and just really brought down the show. You know, I mean, you throw in the Dudley boys trying to take away Landstorm's crown with of the worst chair shot ever. It's just like, there was... I expected the Bam Bam Bigelow, New Jack, the Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, Dudley boys match, and the Sabu and RVD match to be much more than they were. And yet, progressively, each one was a bigger disappointment. Like, there's some good stuff to see about the New Jack Bam Bam Bigelow match, but halfway through, it's like, it becomes a train wreck, and it's like, it's hard to watch. Sandman creeped me out, and just, again, that chair shot and everything, just like, nobody seemed to be on the right flow. And then, of course, like I said, RVD and Sabu, just such a disappointment. I expected... From all these matches, I expected more. I expected to be right out of my seat, and yet I find myself for, let's see, 30, 41, about 50 minutes of this show just bored out of my mind. So for an hour of this show almost, when you add in like ring entrances and everything, I was bored. It's just like, it really brought down the pay-per-view. From the pay-per-views of ECW that I've seen, I think this is one of the worst so far. Again, there are plenty of ECW pay-per-views I've not seen yet, but of the ones that I've reviewed for this podcast, this by far is the worst. There are some good matches worth watching, in particular that, like I said, that Just Incredible Mikey Whipwreck match, and you know what, for the matter... the Shane Douglas Al Snow match is also, I think, worth watching to see Al Snow before he came to WWE. But there's a lot of disappointment with this. And I can't give the pay-per-view better than a 2 out of 5. So that's my review of ECW Wrestlepalooza 1998, a 2 out of 5. I hope you enjoyed my review tonight. Next week, we'll have a sort of short review of Elimination Chamber, and we will be reviewing WWE One Night Stand 2008. As again, we continue down that road to the hardcore road of CMG's Wrestling Reviews Episode 50, where, and I do have some special guests coming on. It's been confirmed. So, yeah. So that's it for this episode. If you have any emails or comments or anything you want to leave the show, remember there are several ways to contact the show. One, you can email us at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. That's absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. You can also leave us a comment on Stitcher, where you can find our show by searching for the Absolution Network. And, of course, you can always leave a comment on our Facebook page by going to facebook.com and searching for The Absolution Network. Like us and leave us a comment there. We are The Absolution Network. That has the A and E N symbol as part of it, because there is another Absolution Network page that's for something, but I haven't been able to figure out what it's for, actually. And then, of course, there's always the website here itself, at www.an.132productions.com, where you can leave a comment on the post itself. And of course, while you're at 132 Productions, make sure you check out all the other 132 Productions contents, which of course includes my Tom's Prerogative, my new podcast, Tom's Toonami D&D, where four of my friends play my D&D game. Can't forget Shin Tiger Curl and his wrestling and anime videos, John Ramos, and his Toku videos, the Anicast, the Intergalactic Graphic Review that I do with Edwin, and so much more. And also check out the other sites that are part of the family, which includes Comic Book Crazy, featuring the Comic Book Crazy podcast, the Hexcast podcast, and Spectacular Webs. You can find that at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And of course, my Tokyo SOS, a Godzilla podcast that you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And also make sure you check out the sidebar where all our friends, that of course includes Maddie J and TWK, and RVT Entertainment, which to my knowledge is still kind of down, but you can check out their Podomatic pages. Michael Bailey and Views from the Lone Box. Spidey Dude in the Clone Saga Chronicles. Steven Schleicher in the Major Spoilers Podcasting Network, and of course, Scott Gunner in the 2-2 Freaks Podcasting Network as well. So that is it for this episode. As I said, next week we review WWE One Night Stand 2008. And we'll also be reviewing, in a quick way, Elimination Chamber 2015. Because, oh my god, this should be good. So, until next time, my wrestling fans, I want you to remember one goddamn thing about me. CM Jew. I'm the best Jew in the world!
You're all that I have and you're all that I need. Each and every day I pray to get to know ya. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around, all around, bring me down to negativity. But I believe, yes, I believe, I said I believe. Then I'm on to feet, one big blood down on one knee. I fight with all of my might to get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Out of darkness comes light, twilight and to the heights. Crown lights burning up, out of to the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. And this feeling, my love will be whole in a ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God, songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be a hole in a ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being, and I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Stripping away the layers and reveal your soul. You gotta give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Them wanna live that fast life, but you're dreaming.